Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the PDP Working Group Work Team call on January the 20th. And on the call, we have, I think Tatiana Kramsova is on Adobe, isn't she? She's not yet on the call. Jeff Newman, Paul Diaz, Avery Doria, Alan Greenberg, and David Maher. And for staff, we have Margie Malam, Marika Koenig, and myself, Glenda Saint-Jerry. Jeff, over to you if I see you not on mute.
Yeah, I can start it, and then I'll kick it off. I'm at the airport, so I appreciate everyone kind of listening in, and I'm hoping the background noise isn't too bad and that you can hear me. But I just wanted to, I'm going to get help from Paul and from others, Alan and Aubrey and whoever else can, Marika could step in to just kind of help lead the discussion along because I can't seem to get onto the Adobe room at the moment. But the goal for today is to kind of get over some of those last outstanding issues that we have from the chart that Marika just recently sent around, and then to go into the if we have some time to go into a discussion on the comments that James and Paul had sent around earlier. If not, I think the plan is to have a call on Monday to go through all the comments that we've received to date on the draft final report. So with that, is there any questions?
Nope.
Okay, then why don't I turn it to Marika to go to the issue that we had left off on. Actually, we finished the issue we left off on, which was the you know, what if we want to terminate a PDP? I do have a question that I need to still get an answer from the General Counsel's office on transition. So I think, Marika, if you can kick off the last subject on the chart.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just going back maybe to the transition, because I did discuss that with the General Counsel's office, and they basically said that, you know, they would be able to build into the bylaws any kind of transition provision that the working group or the work team would deem appropriate. So if there would be, of course, in that case, the easiest would be if the work team would identify certain milestones in the process at which stage a working group might switch to the new process after, you know, the new process has been adopted. So that could be a potential way if the group feels strongly that it might make sense to allow for a transition throughout the process, taking into account that a PDP, you know, can take, you know, more than a year to identify those, you know, those different milestones at which a transition is possible, and you know, the legal team would be able to, you know, write the bylaw provisions that correspond to that for it.
So they're essentially tossing it back to us and saying we can do whatever we want, and we have to decide.
Well, this is basically saying that it is because, you know, I expressed some concern on the last call on how that could work and from a legal perspective if that would be allowed. And they basically said, well, you know, yes, it is possible. And, you know, it might help if the work team indeed identifies at which stages. And, I guess it could be relatively straightforward because there's certain points where you say, okay, you know, you have the request for the issue report, you have the initiation, you know, you have the council votes. So there are several steps where you might see a transition where I guess it doesn't make sense, for example, halfway through a working group to suddenly change rules, for example. So the work team might provide some guidance or just say we prefer to have it very black and white and, you know, any ongoing PDP finishes on the old rules and any new PDP starts on the new rules.
Well, I would suggest that we take it as part of our review process to you know, for people to put in their opinions on how they think it should go. My personal preference is that we not say nothing kicks in until a brand new PDP starts. I think that's too long a transition if it's not complete, not actually warranted.
And this is Jeff. I think that's right. And I think we can use some of the time during you know, when this is out for public comment, to actually look at some of the PDPs that are ongoing and think about some of the ramifications of how that transitions. So that said, is anyone else, I don't see anyone. Paul, you got your hand raised?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I just wanted to agree with both you and Alan. I think it would behoove us to highlight this issue when it does go out for public comments, because there is admittedly an awful lot of stuff for folks to look at. We wouldn't want this particular issue to be swept away, but I'm sure that the community will have its opinions. Let's be sure to underscore this particular issue. We're seeking input, get their views, and then take it on board for the final report.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments on that?
Yeah, it's Alan. I guess to the extent that any of us have any suggestions that we can come up with quickly, that they be incorporated as possibilities. You know, in other words, things that we haven't decided on, but this is, you know, the following have been discussed or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And again, I think as we discussed the last time, the transition shouldn't be too difficult, because it's not like we're presenting a whole new voting model or, you know, some difficult things that would that could really impact greatly the existing PDPs, I don't think. But when people read through it, keep that in mind. Okay. Do we want to now start on the – there were two subjects actually left over from the outstanding issues. One was the we all said we would look at kind of the working group guidelines as they're now published for public comment to see if those rules could apply to PDPs. I think we kind of on the last call said we think that that's the case, but we all wanted to kind of sleep on it for a week and just really read it and think about it. So does anyone have any additional comments on the working group guidelines and whether we think those could apply or should apply to PDPs as well? And more specifically, what we were looking at were the thresholds, but the measurements of full consensus, strong support, that really more the decision models as opposed to the, you know, the, all of the working group guidelines as a whole. So I see Alan's got his hand raised.
Yeah, I really don't see how we cannot use them, at least, you know, for the period of time until they're reviewed. To a large extent, they were created for this process, because the PDP working group, you know, is the first instance of working groups within the within the GNSO, and you know, in a formal sense, and are being mandated as the decision making process. So I don't really see how we could say, now we don't like that, we're going to do something different. I mean, I can see how we can end up saying eventually that they don't work, or we should do something different, but I think that would really mean changing the working group decision-making process and not just the PDP.
Yeah, it seems like Avery agrees with that. Guys, it's kind of loud in here, so can I just ask Marika to just collect the comments on this? Or Alan, and you guys just discuss?
Yeah. I don't see anyone else's hand up at this point.
So,
I'm sorry, Marika, go on.
Yeah, no, just to note, and if there are no further comments, maybe then we move to the last issue on the...
Yeah, Avery did have a comment on the chat saying if we don't like it, we should comment to the working group, on the working group comment period, not just do something different.
Right, and this is Marika. On that note, that comment period is open until the 8th of February, so if anyone has any suggestions on that particular item or any of the other elements of the working group guidelines, you're encouraged to provide input on that there.
And Paul has supported everything.
I see that. So the last item on the original outstanding issues list is the amendments or modifications of approved policies. This basically goes back to what should be done if there are elements of a policy that people feel strongly should be modified. Should people run through the whole process, a whole PDP to modify the policy, what we're, for example, doing for the IRTP currently? Or should there be an alternative approach that might be quicker, especially if you're talking about really minor elements that, you know, if you're not reviewing the overall policy, but maybe you've seen that a particular part of the policy is not working as intended or has unintended consequences or that weren't foreseen. So what we've proposed in the document is that the approved GNSO policies may be modified or amended by the GNSO Council at any time prior to the final approval by the ICANN board as follows. So this is specifically actually talking, sorry, I have to refresh my own mind on this one. If a policy hasn't been approved by the board but is, you know, between a final approval, so in that case, the PDP team, if it has not been disbanded, should be consulted with regards to the proposed amendments or modification. To the proposed amendments or modifications are posted for public comment for no less than 21 days.
Yeah, Marika, where is this in the document?
In the document, we've put that, I think, in the rules of procedure. And on the document,
on the
page
screen.
13. Page 13.
Page 13, thank you.
Page 15 going into page 14.
Yeah, okay.
And then the third part of that, the GNSO Council approves such amendments or modifications with a supermajority vote in favor. Then it goes on to the approved GNSO policies that have been adopted by the ICANN board and have been implemented by ICANN staff may be amended or modified as follows. The initiation of a new PDP on the issue or the unanimous vote of each house of the GNSO Council for those modification amendments considered to be non-controversial or involving insignificant wording changes to the approved policy. Prior to any such vote, the GNSO Council should consider opening a public comment forum on the proposed revisions to the adopted policy.
I have a number of comments on both of them.
Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, on the first one of prior to board approval, the way it reads, it sounds as if the GNSO can decide to make changes, but they should consult the working group. That's counter to what we've been saying, that the GNSO should not be writing not be making policy. So I personally have no problem with it, but it's counter to the way we've been talking, and I wonder how we rationalize it. And the point on the second one is, I think asking for unanimous support or unanimous vote of both houses makes it almost impossible to do. Especially, if there is one of the stakeholders groups who doesn't agree. And since we're building into almost every PDP these days, we should review the outcome and make adjustments if necessary. I think we're in a bind. We're building into the PDP into PDP recommendations the requirement to review, but we're making acting on that review almost impossible. And so I find both of these somewhat problematic. Thank you. I think we have Paul next.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. I share a lot of your concerns. I just need to ask the group to take a step back and help orient me here. When would this, what we're discussing right now, when would this come into play? I mean, I'm having a hard time imagining. For example, the first point, if the PDP has not been disbanded, okay, so if a team comes up with a recommended change to an existing proposal, it's early and I guess I'm being dense, but when is this going to come into play, this idea that there'd be amendments or modifications to approved policies and a PDP team's not available or... To Alan's point, why would council ever be the one making the recommendation? Why wouldn't it be bottom up? Just please, somebody help. Give me an example, a realistic scenario where we might be dealing with this.
I guess as I read it, it's almost a scenario of the council has, because it says approved GNSO council policies, but not approved by the board. So if the board goes out for a comment period, for instance, following the GNSO approval and comments come in, or maybe board members independently raise issues that have not been discussed before. It seems to be looking at the issue of the GNSO has already stamped it, but somewhere along the way, someone has said, hey, wait, there's a problem. That's what it sounds like it's discussing. I wasn't on the meeting when this was originally conceived, so I'm guessing a little bit, but that sounds like what it's discussing.
Okay, that helps, Alan. Thank you. And
again,
I guess we can.
It's a guess on my part.
Yeah, and again, I don't honestly remember this particular debate, and I think I've been on most of the calls, but I'm still hard-pressed because, you know, in the example you just provided, it's hard to imagine the council has started to move on something, and then, you know, at the 11th hour and the 59th minute, somebody steps up and says, well, I want to do something that was totally unanticipated by the work group, and they're trying to squeeze it in, so we need this extra process.
Yeah, but it's not at the 11th hour of council action. It says approved by the GNSO Council, so it's already passed off from the GNSO to the board, but the board hasn't acted yet, is what that preamble says.
Yeah. Okay,
Marika,
but
maybe you know why this decision was actually made.
This is Marika, and actually to clarify, this is an issue that actually hasn't been discussed by the work team before. This is one of the items when staff, you know, writing the procedure manual, one of the elements that we thought, well, that's maybe an issue for the work team to consider, whether anything needs to be done to address those situations, which, you know, I think as probably everyone agrees, they might be highly unlikely, but there might indeed be instances where a policy has been approved, and I think Alan gave a good example where maybe the board common process or, you know, indeed new evidence that has suddenly become available make it necessary to amend the policy. So I think it's more likely in the second case where, for example, I think, you know, Paul, you mentioned it, or I think Alan said, like, that would be very hard to have any kind of review. I think for the normal kind of review where you really want to review the overall policy, you probably would go through a PDP process. I think it's more, and this is the case, where you have implemented the policy, and as part of that implementation, you know, you suddenly realize, oh, my God, you know, we really didn't foresee that this would happen in this way in practice. It's very easy to modify that if we, you know, change these three words in the policy. That kind of thing, but you might say, okay, everyone agrees that, you know, this can be an easy fix. But in the current circumstances, you would need to go through the whole PDP process to change those three words. So I think the second scenario might be more likely one where they're identified changes that are, you know, very straightforward and, you know, might not need to go through the whole process, where you might foresee those kind of rules. But if you don't mind, I'll hand it to Margie, because she's actually the one who drafted this language, so she might have some further comments.
Hi, yeah, this is Margie. A couple examples of where this might come into play. As you recall, the REC 6 working group, the charter of that group essentially left the work to be purely implementation and not policy. Had the result been that they wanted to revisit REC 6, what under the current rules, it's really unclear how that would happen, and you might have to go through a full PDP just to change maybe a few words or to readdress an issue that came up after the GNSO had approved it. You got community input, you got ALAC advice, GAC advice, board discussion, and something has come up that really just wasn't contemplated or that requires change. So that's an example of the kind of thing that can happen. And, you know, in that case, the advice ended up being, you know, implementation instead of a new policy. But that is certainly the kind of example that we're talking about.
And, Jeff, it's Marilyn. Can I just announce I was able to join the call? Apologies to be late.
Okay, we have Avery with her hand up. Margie, were you finished?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Your hand is still. Go ahead.
Thank you. I certainly find it very easy to imagine, not only in the cases that have been brought forward, but just if you happen to have a changeover in the council between the time that a report was made and the board hasn't acted on it. And also very often there are questions coming down from the board, and that question from the board starts a churn. And once you're, or the question coming from the staff, you know, starts to churn. Now, one of the things I thought it was discussed was that, first of all, while the PDP working group finishes its work and sends its report, it doesn't necessarily blink out of existence immediately, but sticks around. I think we had also, and I forget whether it was in the context of this group or the working group work team, perhaps, you know, another group is saying, I think under no circumstances should the council be empowered to change anything other than, you know, a trivial spelling error, punctuation, or something like that in the recommendations? Because the second you open up even the smallest crack in the council can make policy under the following circumstances, the following circumstances become a slippery slope. So I think, you know, yes, if the policy has already been implemented, has already been approved by the board, you got to do a new PDP. I mean, I think that is the only thing you have to do. And I think if the council has approved it and for some reason reconsideration is necessary, it needs to go back to the group. And that's one reason why groups need to sort of, they go into a holding state. They go into, you know, become dormant, perhaps. But they should not disappear until it's actually over. And that becomes a good period for doing the cleanups and the post-reviews that are process-oriented, not, you know, policy-oriented of how did this working group, how could we have done better, how could we have done worse, and all that important stuff that we say there's no time to do. Well, that's the kind of stuff it could do during this dormant period. But so I think the solution to this is a working group goes dormant, but it doesn't actually end until things are done. But under no circumstances should the council, in this new model of council, be making anything that is a policy decision, and it becomes a slippery slope. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Avery. My hand is the next one up. A couple of comments, and some of which I agree with Avery, some of which I disagree. I think it's absolutely essential to have these kinds of clauses in the process. To not have them presumes infallibility of work groups and the GNSO. And I think in the face of, you know, a strong belief in the community one way or another, or the board, that something is not implementable and the board will otherwise reject it, I think there must be a way of going back and adjusting it, or at least reviewing it and looking at whether to adjust it or not. So I think in both cases, I disagree with Avery that I think even after the board passes it, I think there needs to be a mechanism for reopening without restarting a new PDP, because otherwise the concept of putting review clauses in PDPs, as we've done a number of times now, is a sham. It really says there is no ability to fix it, even if we do a review and find a fix is needed. I also disagree on a philosophical note, but it doesn't really come into this particular decision on council making decisions. I personally think that if a working group is divided and cannot make a recommendation but gives alternatives, that I believe the council should be able to select among them. But that's a different, not really part of this discussion. Thank you. Paul is next.
Thanks, Alan. I think I can agree with most of this, just as Jess Newman's saying in the chat. And I recognize now, thank you for you know, helping explain where this scenario will come up, because there always will be these cracks in the process. Nothing's infallible. That said, going back to some of the initial concerns that were expressed about, you know, the voting threshold, first going down the list, and number two, the comment period, I think should be one of the 30-day comment periods. And not to jump the gun, but in James and I comments, I'm sorry, we were under the impression, I thought we were standardizing around 30 days, but I guess there's some cases where it's still going to be 21. Just because in any situation other than a typographical error, there's going to be a lot of controversy about any of these late changes that are being proposed here. I think that the longer comment period is a necessity here. Similarly, I share Alan's view. In the second part, the number two, the unanimous vote of each house, I think that threshold is unrealistic. If we want it high, keep it supermajority. But I think unanimity is something that, as we've said in other working groups, is very rare in ICANN. And I think it's more likely that the situations that we're potentially envisioning here are going to be controversial. The likelihood that that we could ever achieve unanimity at the council level to address these is low. So I think that we need to look at changing that threshold, set it as high as we want, but unanimity seems unrealistic.
Margie, is your hand still up from before or a new one?
Another comment, just to clarify so I understand what the working group is saying. When we're talking about changing a policy, are you saying that it needs to go back to the PDP process, are we all envisioning that should be the entire process, start to finish? So in other words, go back to the issues report, back to the public comment periods that are associated with it, or is it a truncated process? That's my question really to the group.
I think you'll get different answers from different people. From what I see and from Avery's comment, and Avery speak up, is Avery saying the full PDP process. I'm saying that I believe we need some sort of abbreviated process, assuming there's a strong will of council. And whether it's reconvening a working group or delegating, how it's delegating, I'm not talking about. But I believe this should be an abbreviated process, especially when it's due to something which was caused by a provision of the original PDP outcome. Avery?
Yeah, hi. Far be it for me, and this is generally a role I'm not in, to protect the sanctity of picket fences and consensus policies within them. But if a PDP has been approved by the board and a consensus policy has been set, then I don't see any way to have a valid change to that. We're talking about a substantive change here. A valid change to that without going through the entire process. And I've said before, I'm very against any of the fast-track PDP notions. Also, you're going to have a situation where you have discovered that something is wrong. You're going to need an analysis of what it is that's wrong, which is the issues report / review. A review feeds into an issues report, or a problem report feeds into an issue. You then have to say, okay, what is the scope of the work you are going to make to this already approved consensus policy that does change picket fence issues, et cetera. We're not talking about just a general recommendation that a working group does. We're talking about the PDP. So I think you have no choice but to go through the full PDP if you want to maintain the validity of PDP as how we mess with stuff within the fence. Thanks.
Jeff?
Yeah, I think I agree with Avery on this one, but I think it can go a lot quicker than obviously the original PDP. With exception of the public comment period, nothing is really preventing, the issues report could be a lot smaller, it could be a lot more narrow to whatever the change was, hopefully the working groups wouldn't take as long. So, I think it does have to go through the formal processes that are in place to make these changes. But were we also talking about the notion of if the GNSO passes something and then it goes to the board and then through the board public comment period or a comment from another SO, there's another issue to address. In that circumstance, obviously it shouldn't go through a full new PDP, but just back to the working group to address the issue. So I think there's two different scenarios that we kind of need to think about. But if it's already been approved, if the board's already approved it, it's been implemented, and now there's something we learn that's new, then what Aubrey says is correct. We need to go through the full PDP, but I just don't see it taking quite as long.
Okay, so both you and Avery are saying the part one of this of this dialogue is we should go ahead and we should scrap part two. The part two being after board approval.
It's valid to say you initiate a new PDP.
Oh yeah, of course. You can always initiate a new PDP. Although it's such an onerous thing to do, I question whether it would happen.
Well, you can always say, and sorry for jumping in, but
okay.
You can always say initiation of a new PDP on the specific point under question.
Yeah, oh, of course.
As opposed to opening up the whole kettle again.
Yeah, I guess the only problem I have with what both of you said is you said it's only a true consensus policy and can only be imposed upon contracted parties if we follow the process. But we're writing the process here. If we choose to put in a yes, but, you know, there's a short pass for something, and I'm not saying everyone agrees, but if we choose to, it is part of the process. And if it gets as far as being approved by the board, then it's a bylaw, and it has followed the process. So you saying it's only valid if we follow the approved process is a circular argument. We're writing the process here. Well, we're divided
Alan,
here. I'm not quite sure.
Well, Alan, I have another I have another point to bring up.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So the other thing we haven't considered is, I guess we're only thinking about the outcome of a PDP being a consensus policy. It's entirely possible that an outcome of a PDP may not be a consensus policy, but just some, you know, best practices or something other than that. And it's also possible that it doesn't have to be a PDP to handle the new issue. If it's just a best practices or something else, then it's possible that the council could just set up a new working group to handle the new issue without following a formal PDP, simply to address whatever issue is outstanding. So we kind of need to build in that as well. So maybe it's just by language of, you know, if it's the type of thing that should go through a PDP, then a new PDP must be started. But if it's the type of thing that doesn't require a PDP for whatever reason, then the council will follow that procedure. So, you know, I mean, I see Aubrey's comment now. It says if a best practices was recommended and approved, then someone sees a change is necessary to contract, then what? Aubrey, can you just explain that scenario? I'm missing the word.
The PDP came out with no changes to contractual conditions, no changes to anything necessary. And then that gets approved, that goes through the board, and all of a sudden we see, oh, wait a second, no, we really do need to tweak, you know, a consensus policy to make this work. So it's just a small change to consensus policy, it's just a small change to something inside the picket fence. But, you know, hey, we all agree that it's necessary and, you know, we're unanimous that this needs to be changed. I still think it was problematic. And so you're basically saying if it's just best practices, then we don't have to worry. Well, if it's just best practice, though, someone may decide that a consensus policy change to within the picket fence is required. Then what do you do? So,
I think
making our rule very complex and sort of saying, well, if A, then this. If B, then that. If C, then that. Or just, no, you have to go back through the process.
Well, I guess the scenario I was thinking about kind of and if it's a change to consensus policy, then it needs to go through the new PDP. But I was thinking more of, let's say you go through a full PDP, like let's say you go through a registration abuse PDP, and it turns out the outcome is that we want staff to basically send letters reminding registrars of their obligations, you know, whatever it is. But it's not a consensus policy or anything. It's maybe an action by staff. At that point in time, if the board has some comments on it, then in theory, if you want to address that particular item of having staff write letters or issuing things may not require a PDP to fully, you know, a new PDP to fully address. It may just be a working group other than a PDP. So I just didn't want to set a hard and fast rule that says you have to initiate a new PDP. I basically want to find a way to say if it's the type of thing that should go through a PDP, according to, you know, the subjects of a PDP and the outcomes, then, yeah, you have to do a new PDP. But if it's the type of thing that wouldn't normally have to go through a PDP, then you may not need to initiate it, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. I don't agree with it, but it makes sense.
Alan, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. The kind of scenario I was thinking of, if you go back to the domain tasting one, we set some, you know, for instance, I think there's a 5% limit in that, which says up to 5% of AGP deletes are okay. Above that, you pay. You know, if we had miscalculated, and for real valid business reasons, the number should have been 8, I think that's the kind of thing that should be able to be changed without initiating a whole new process. Or if we had gotten the wording wrong and the interpretation of the wording was, under no conditions can a registrar get credit for AGP deletes which are necessary due to outright fraud. You know, again, if we had gotten something wrong and it's not till after implementation that we realize it, I think there should be a process that you can fix it without starting a long process, which even at the best of times, I think we calculated would take something like 9 months. So that's the kind of thing I was thinking of. But, you know, the group doesn't seem to agree, so I'm willing to live with that.
Well, I mean, if you look at what Paul wrote, and maybe we can have Paul speak on this, his comment was, as long as there's supermajority support at the council level for the minor change. Paul, do you want to go into that a little bit?
Paul is back. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I just got back, and forgive me having been away for a few minutes in case I missed something, but I'm going to say what Aubrey's saying right after on the council in the chat. I'm still having a hard time. I don't envision these issues, the scenarios we're describing, anything ever being truly minor. You know, even to use the example Alan just threw out, you know, 8% versus 5%, why 8 and not 10? You know, there's always going to be some debate. There's more pushing and shoving going on about changes, especially later in the process. So, you know, whether it needs to, any changes that come up at the end, if we're arguing a new PDP, a brand new PDP is going to have to address that or not, is one thing, you know, or is it, I guess that's going to be specific to the particular issue. But at a bare minimum, I think that if it's going to be minor, you should be able to get a very high level of support at the council to make the change. I mean, if people really see, to use the example, going from 5 to 8 as a simple little switch, nobody really has a problem with it, fine, then let's, in our rules here, make it clear that there's that level of support.
Yeah, Paul, that was implicit in what I was saying, that it would have to be a very high level of support, certainly a supermajority, but I seem to be in a minority, so I'm willing to yield, at least on this call anyway.
I'm sorry, but you're yielding because, and this is what I've stepped away, are we talking about deleting this entire section or just the second half?
The second half.
Second half, okay.
No, I think most people agree that until it's actually enacted, we shouldn't presume that we are infallible and there should be some way of going back to the working group, you know, reconvening it or restarting it or whatever.
Raising hand?
Consider raised.
Right. Okay.
I see Margie and Marika had their hands up.
Raised. Sorry, I'll shut up.
I think Marika was next.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to be brief, we spoke a while ago on expedited procedures that might possibly apply. I just want to note that that's one of the items we agreed to go back to at some point because in our previous discussions we didn't reach consensus on that item and we noted that we would look back at that at some point. So just to note that. And then just very briefly, do I understand then on the suggested approach, the first part, that the agreement there would be, instead of saying like the PDP team, if it has not been disbanded, that we say the PDP team, you know, should be reconvened, or that it's clear that the working group is asked to look at this again?
I would think it's working group, if it still exists, is reconvened, and if not, a new one is re-whatevered.
Okay.
And Paul just put his hand up. Margie, did you have something first?
My preference on the issue of changing a policy after it's been, you know, not already approved and implemented would be to have a really high, you know, vote on the council as a possibility and leave the council the flexibility of making it go to a new PDP if you know, if there's support for that, as opposed to doing the high vote, just to give flexibility, so it isn't so such a long process. And on an earlier point that I think Jeff was making, that the PDP process would only be needed for consensus policy changes. I'm not so sure I agree with that. You know, we have, and this is kind of that gray area of, well, what is policy? I think policy is more than just consensus policy that's binding on the contracted parties. And so to the extent that there was something that was policy that wasn't a, you know, consensus policy that had been approved before, I think we would need to be clear on how that should be changed. In my view, if you had silence on that issue, you would probably have to go through the full PDP. And if that's the intent, and I just wanted to, you know, clarify then that, you know, that I just want everyone to know that would at least be, I think, how I would look at that issue.
Hey, Alan, can I just jump in on that one?
Sure, and I have one comment on it also. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Margie, I don't think I said, and if I did, I didn't mean it, that you should only have a new PDP if it's a consensus policy. I think I was saying, sort of agreeing with you, that if it's a type of change for which a PDP is required, then you need to go through a new PDP. But if it's a type of change or issue for which a PDP would not normally be required, then you can go through some other process that the GNSO Council has. So the example I gave was, let's say you had a PDP, and the outcome of the PDP was staff sending a letter to registrars to remind them of their obligations, or to registries and remind them of their obligations. And there was some issue with that the board had, then, in theory, the council would not have to initiate a new PDP to address that change, or may not have to, if in its determination that does not require going through a PDP with all the outcomes of a PDP. As I think Alan has said on a number of occasions, you know, you want to go through a PDP if you want to force the board to have to implement it unless two-thirds of the board disagree or whatever the rule is. So I think some analysis needs to take place as to what the change is addressing and whether that's the type of thing that would normally need to go through a PDP. Consensus policy is just one example of that.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, Jeff, you just brought up the issue I was going to, the one you say I always make, and I'll make it again. You use the term things for which consensus policy is required. The only thing for which consensus policy is required, not a PDP process is required, is to create a consensus policy. However, the council can use PDPs to force action on the board, barring overwhelming opposition on the board. And that's not required, but that's a decision of council to use the PDP process for something because it feels strongly that this is something that is important enough that it should be imposed on ICANN, not necessarily contracted parties, you know, barring supermajority of the board opposing, of course. So I don't think we can use the term PDP is required in that case. So if we're going to put something like this in, we have to be very careful of the wording.
What about the wording I just put in the chat? So you would say something like, for which a PDP is required or otherwise desired.
Okay. I'm not sure where those words go.
Well, I'm saying that you would initiate the initiation of a new PDP on the issue. I don't know how. Basically, you would say that you would have to initiate a PDP if it's a type of subject for which a PDP is required or for which council otherwise desires.
I don't think we even need a sentence about that in the absence of a way of jumping into, you know, reverting back into the PDP process or whatever it is, it doesn't exist, and a new PDP is the only mechanism. So I'm not sure we even need
that. Reason I came up with the language was because it says that approved GNSO policies that have been adopted by the ICANN in this outstanding issues document, it says approved GNSO Council policies that have been adopted by the ICANN board and have been implemented by ICANN staff may be amended or modified as follows. And it says the initiation of a PDP, of a new PDP. And then we were talking about before eliminating the second part of it. And if you eliminate the second part, then we're saying it's only modified through the initiation of a new PDP. And my point is that we got to add something where the initiation of a new PDP is not necessarily necessary if it's not the type of subject for which a PDP is required or otherwise desired.
But why do we need that whole paragraph? Why do we need that whole section of for situations where the GNSO, where the board has already approved? Just being silent on it says the same thing.
I'm always of the opinion that where you can be specific and provide some guidance, I mean, we may think it says the same thing, but who knows what's going to happen 3-5 years down the road.
Well, I don't see how it says anything else. It says the only alternative is to do a PDP. So that's always a PDP is always an alternative for council. Perhaps it doesn't hurt, but I don't see the need. But
well, I guess I'm reading it differently then. Maybe I'm the one misunderstanding. We're basically saying to council and to the community that, look, if you want to make any changes for which there was originally a PDP, then you must go through a new PDP if it's a type of subject for which a PDP is required or if it's desired. But in other words, you don't want to put it in the hands of the council to say, well, we're just making a small change, so let's just decide amongst ourselves to make that small change.
No. I understand you're saying you don't want the council to be able to make a small change or even reconvene a working group after board approval. So after board approval, it's a done deal, it's a clean slate, and the only thing you can do is initiate a PDP. Avery?
Yeah, I listening to you, I think you guys are actually almost agreeing. And the only time a PDP is required, as I understand you saying, is when the council decides it's required, either because it's in scope and they reach that threshold, or if it's out of scope, they reach the other threshold. But as you say, Alan, a PDP being required is only determined by a GNSO action. So to say initiation of a new PDP is probably enough to make the step and say the initiation of a new PDP as required, you know, just sort of makes it stronger and emphasizes that it does have to reconsider as opposed to automatically doing one. But, yeah, I think you guys should almost – it sounds like you guys are almost – not that I'm good at knowing when people are agreeing, but okay.
I mean, to bring up a current – subject and not quite appropriate, but I'll use it as a bad example, is, you know, one could consider the current PEDNR PDP as a reopening and minor adjustment of the EDDP PDP from 2003. But I don't think anyone even considered that. It was just, you know, we still feel some changes are necessary, therefore it's a new PDP. I really don't see the difference on how whether you label it a modification or a complete new issue. It has impact on what the working group will do, perhaps. But that's all. But in any case, I see no harm in putting it in. If people want to, go ahead.
So this is Enrique. If I can just then ask for clarification. So there's agreement to leave the second part in, but then only have the number one bullet saying that the initiation of a new PDP as required. Did I understand that correctly?
I think that's what people are saying.
Okay.
Yeah, we may just want to work on those words at the end of as required, but, I mean, that's the concept because you're almost saying the initiation of a PDP is required. I think you want to say as appropriate or something like that. If it's appropriate, then it's a new PDP. Anyway, that's the concept. Maybe it'll look, when you write it up, it'll look fine. And so just seems like Aubrey's got a comment on that.
Yeah, I do. I think we have to be careful. If we put in as desired or as appropriate or whatever, what we've done is we've fuzzed up how one starts a PDP, and we've opened it up, knowing us, we've opened it up to questions a year or two from now. What do they mean as appropriate? Does that mean we don't necessarily have to go through all the initial steps, et cetera? So that's perhaps an argument in favor of Alan's just, the initiation of a new PDP because it includes all the is it appropriate steps. There's no other way of determining that a PDP is appropriate except by going through all the steps. So I think as required by the PDP process is redundancy, but it's nailing the nail down so that there's no question of, well, can we just restart this one? Can we do this? Can we do that? And so it's the specificity to stop the same kind of speculation we're having now in the future. Thanks.
We have no hands up, and I'm not sure we have any more subjects, and we're at the almost at the one-hour mark.
This is Marika. Can I just then ask for a clarification? So are we now, does the work team not prefer just to leave it as is? So it says approved GNSO policies that have been adopted by the ICANN board and have been implemented by ICANN staff may be amended or modified by the initiation of a new PDP.
I would think it's solely at that point by the initiation of a new PDP to make it clear. If we're trying to make it clear, we should make it clear.
Okay.
Right, so may only be amended by the initiation of a new PDP on the issue.
Yeah.
So before we leave for the day, I just want to remind everyone that comments are due tomorrow to the old draft. I shouldn't say old draft, sorry. Of the draft that's out there from October. Really read that draft in conjunction with this outstanding issues list and all the comments that we've made. I understand it's not ideal to be reviewing it at this point, but we kind of have a really compressed time frame that everybody agreed to, and I think it's the only way that we're going to basically be able to get all of our comments in, get Marika to finalize this draft final report out for comment, for public comment for everybody. Including us again. I mean, if we have additional comments, it's not like we can't make comments during that time period as well. And, everyone go back to your constituency, stakeholder groups, supporting organization, or I should say advisory committee, and just make sure that they're ready to comment on it. It's a fairly short amount of time for the dense amount of material that's in here. And, we do have subjects that we're going to address when it does go out for public comment. So with that, I do want to say that we are having a call on Monday at this same time slot so that we can address some of the comments that we've received and that, as Paul points out, this is technically a 90-minute call, but I think we'll have the 90-minute call on Monday to address the comments. And, please read it, make some comments. Let's try not to reopen some issues that have already been decided. But obviously, we'll go where the discussion takes us. Marika, do you have any other comments on the review or anything like that?
This is Marika. No, just to note that it might be helpful as well for people to look actually at the notes in the outstanding issues document if they haven't done so, to make sure that I've captured well the work team discussions and agreement on the different items. So that if needed, we can still go back to some of those items as well in our next meetings. And to note as well what I mentioned on the expedited procedures, that's one of the things we left open and need to go back to at some point.
Right. Okay. So anybody else have any comments?
No.
Okay. Well, then I'll talk to you all on Monday. Thank you, everyone.
Only to give condolences to Marika, who has to assimilate any comments we make on her 3 days off.
Well, fortunately, I hope to have some time Monday morning as I'm in Europe, so that's that might help me.
You're being optimistic that we won't actually make many comments. Okay.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Okay. Bye. Thank you,
Alan. Thanks, guys.
Bye.